Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michaels, and this week, quite a guest, George Clooney, one of the most successful actors of his generation, has also become one of the most successful activists. He has used his platform to do a lot of good over the years and is continuing to do that with this new school called the Roybal Film and TV Magnet Academy, which is at Roybal School near downtown Los Angeles. It's a free public school, part of the LA Unified School District, Magnet School. And he's used his considerable power to bring together a bunch of different companies in Hollywood to help train these kids. So we've got an in-depth conversation with him in a moment. We're going to begin with a story telling the backstory of this school, hear from some of the lead officials on that, and then our sit down with George Clooney.
We know this works.
George Clooney shows off the school program he co-founded, the U.S. Secretary of Education, the second gentleman of the United States.
You're in a model that we want to replicate across the country.
We can do this with nurses. We can do this with tech. We can do this with so many different things. All across the country.
We very quickly can change the face of our industry in a big way.
In September, Clooney helped to launch the Roybal Film and Television Magnet in downtown L.A. Every class here geared towards training students for so-called below-the-line jobs on a film set. Essentially everything that isn't a writer, director, or producer. There are 60,000 plus of those jobs in L.A. alone.
That's a lot of work out there.
Many of the students here had never had access to equipment like this before. Now that they do, they see new possibilities.
Clergo Roman is now considering becoming a cameraman.
It really brought new opportunities for me that I didn't think I could do. So I'm really grateful for that.
Blanca Cruz is the principal.
The most unique part of it is the partnerships.
Not only did Clooney recruit friends like Don Cheadle and Mindy Kaling to serve on the advisory board, but also some of the biggest companies in Hollywood are donors.
Yes! Yes!
Kerry Washington and Netflix hosting a screening for the kids, Disney, a Black Panther movie night, and our parent company, Fox, offering a studio tour, including behind the scenes of Fox Sports. Rob Wade is CEO of Fox Entertainment and a Roybal board member.
We've all had that moment where we're outsiders and we're trying to get in somewhere, and we're not given that opportunity, that leg up, and this is giving everyone that opportunity and that leg up and the equity.
10th grader Kennedy Pinto couldn't be more grateful for coaching by Clooney himself.
If you're just like a normal person, you wouldn't think of someone like him, who's like a big star, to like come and speak to you and want to do a change for you and other people.
The LAUSD superintendent is thrilled to have this program start here.
You are in the room where it happens, the classroom of America.
We want this to be in New York. We want this to be in Atlanta. We want it to be in Chicago. We want to change the complexion of our sets.
After the tour, Clooney sits down with us for an extensive and exclusive one-on-one interview.
George Clooney, thanks so much for being with us, and thank you for what you do.
Well, thanks. Thanks for showing up today. Yeah. It's an exciting time for us, for the school.
Let's talk about the idea for the school in the first place. Where did the first idea come from?
Well, we have a problem in our industry with diversity, you know, particularly not as much in front of the camera, honestly. We're getting better at that, but behind the camera, you know, if you go to the sets, they don't represent what the rest of the country looks like. We're trying to fix that, but a lot of times we're doing it sort of at the end of the process instead of at the beginning. We're trying to hire people just to say quickly, let's fix it, let's hire people. And it's setting people up to fail, quite honestly. And we were looking at it, my buddy Grant and I and Brian Lord, about how do we get into this at a much earlier place. And the much earlier place seemed to be high school. Because there's a lot of kids who aren't going to end up going to college, and they're not going to end up in a four-year education, and they want to get to work. And we thought, well, if we get them into learning this trade in 10th grade and 11th grade and 12th grade, tying the curriculum directly to the school, so these kids that you see, that you saw today, they're going to get a diploma. They can go to college if they want, and they might very well want to. But they're also going to get an internship and apprenticeships. And we had the unions there, who are a huge hurdle that we're able to use now. to be able to say, okay, when you guys graduate, if you've done all the work and succeeded at it, there'll be jobs available for you immediately. And the reason that's important is because there are so many young people, you know, it's 90% below the poverty level at Roybal School. Mm-hmm. There's so many young people who don't even know these jobs exist. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of legacy jobs. They don't know about a visual effects supervisor that can get paid a lot of money. And so they don't know to apply. They don't know to apply themselves to learn it. And so we're not getting them until they're not getting the opportunity until it's too late. So our thought was, well, let's get in early. And, you know, we went to everybody in the studio, every studio, every network. We came to you and we said, help us out. Everybody came up with money. It costs a lot of money to do this. We got the state to step in and help. And now we're trying to scale it so we can do it in New York and we can do it in Louisiana and the places where our industry is working in the largest part.
What's it like for you? Because one thing to talk about this as a concept, it's another thing to be in the school.
Yeah.
What's it like for you to look them in the eye and see it happening?
Today was pretty amazing when you have these, you know, two young kids talking about how they're excited to go to school and they have these dreams. You know, I was, you know, they're in 10th grade. I didn't figure out what I wanted to do until I was about 21 or 22 years old. And they're getting ideas that they'd never known. They didn't know that these jobs existed. They didn't know that it was available or ever going to be available to them. So watching that world open up for a bunch of young kids is really important. And for us in particular, this is kind of fulfilling the promise that we all think we're making constantly. You know, we keep thinking, we're saying, well, we want to do the right thing, and we want to hire, and we want diversity, and we want all those things. And you'll hear phrases like the Oscars are so white and things like that. Well, clearly this is a problem, and we need to address it at a much earlier stage, and that's how you fix it. You know, I did a hospital show for a while called
you
ER. Yeah. And the thing they would talk about all the time is, you know, we're using emergency rooms as primary care. And you can avoid an awful lot of bad illnesses if you had, if you were seeing doctors at a much earlier stage. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same theory.
You know, if you were in 10th grade
and
you had this sort of experience, how would this have potentially changed your life?
Well, but that's the difference is, you know, I grew up, you know, we weren't poor, but we didn't have money. No, we didn't really, you know, but I was a white kid in middle America. And so the thought that there wasn't anything available to me never occurred. Mm-hmm. You always thought that that was something that was available to you. Not that I knew about these things, but there's still a huge difference as you know and you have seen. And, you know, we're just trying to level the playing field. You know, it's a funny thing. There's a lot of political, you know, issues that come into play, obviously, whenever you talk about government spending and things like this. We feel as if, first of all, you get more than your money back. You know, these kids become taxpayers really, really quickly. And if your inclination is to say affirmative action isn't fair, and that is many people's inclination, this is the argument to say, well, then this is the way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're saying, okay, no one's taking anyone's job that isn't already qualified for it. But they weren't getting the opportunities. They weren't getting the educational opportunities. They didn't even know the jobs existed. So we're just saying, let's do it earlier and see if we can fix this problem.
And you had the opportunity to literally have the top people in the country there,
sure,
seeing it now, the Secretary of Education, the Vice President's husband as well.
Yeah.
What's your message to them in terms of making this a bigger thing?
Well, you know, it's funny because it boils down to a couple of things. You know, we need their attention. But they have it. You know, they really do have a great interest in education. We need funding because, you know, Grant and Brian and Don and I, we can't guilt everybody forever. You know, we guilt every studio. We call them going, well, you're going to do it. Well, they did it. And we keep hitting them all up. And you keep doing it. And we'll keep trying, but it gets harder.
Right.
And again, as I said before, this is the kind of spending that has a huge return on the investment. There is not an example where it hasn't paid huge dividends in doing it. So this is a good use of money. So, and you know, we'll still keep guilting everybody else along the way.
Right, right. In terms of you know, you're obviously your father now.
Yes.
Has that changed the way you think about kids and schools now?
Well, yeah, I want to get my kid in school so I can do something during the day. I don't know, you're a father. Are you a father?
I'm not.
You're not a father? Well, get busy, will you?
Well, I'm looking towards you as
an
example.
I started late.
Let me have some few extra years.
Yeah, you got some free time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's, you know, it just reminds you of how responsible we are for one another. You know, we're all responsible for one another. You were talking earlier about how you, when you were in college, you worked on a project for breast cancer and you raised a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, you said. Well, that's a really good lesson in life at a very young age, which is let's forget all of the stuff. Let's forget about what we've just been watching with the House and their arguments over who should be speaker. Let's forget all of this and remember that we're all in this together and we have to look out for one another and we have a responsibility to one another. And, you know, I grew up in a small town in Kentucky, which is, you know, their tendency would be to be conservative, as you can imagine. Well, you wouldn't know that when you walk the streets. When you throw out all of this other stuff, we look out for one another as human beings. And given an opportunity to whom much has been given, much is expected, and we have responsibilities.
Sophomore in high school was 5 years of my life.
When you were joking earlier to the kids about how you was a sophomore for 5 years, right?
And
exactly about that. But are there any maybe mistakes you made in high school or things that you did at the time that now looking back you can teach the kids about?
No, there's no lessons for me to be giving anyone. When I was in school, Kentucky, particularly a very poor town, public school, tiny school, there were 23 people in my senior class.
Wow.
I was the center on the basketball team, 5'11". and so we were, I think, about 49th in education. We used to look at I think it was Mississippi, and we go, well, we're not Mississippi. Okay. There wasn't a lot of money spent. There wasn't a lot of money to be had. So your education oftentimes came about through your parents. You know, a lot of it did. That's changed considerably now, and certainly even in the school that I went to is now a really wonderful school. But I think that, this idea of taking a village, you know, it's going to be your parents, it's going to be your teachers. The teachers at the school that you saw today, they're amazing, man. They, Blanca, the principal, the woman who's running this thing, she's incredible, and she has great determination and really believes that every single one of these, nobody should be slipping through the cracks here. She's an exciting person to be around. And what we learned after COVID was who are really essential in our lives, essential workers, healthcare workers, teachers, the people that make our days run. And she is essential in our, certainly in the schools that we're working on.
You've done obviously so many things and used your platform for so much good and had some fun along the way.
Sure.
But in terms of your career, where does this shape into your legacy and this sort of fit?
I don't know. I don't think it's not for me to figure out what legacies are going to happen. That'll be, you know, long after I'm.
I mean, this among the most fulfilling things that you've done?
It is for me. Incredibly fulfilling. It's incredibly fulfilling to sit there and watch those kids today. But I kind of want to take the emphasis off of yourself in these situations because I get enough attention and people are nice enough to me. What I see is a community. You know, I've always said this about our industry. I really do believe it's a community. I think it's some really nice, wonderful people. There's some idiots. There always have been. But I think it's a community of people who really care and want to do a lot of good. And I think we've missed some opportunities over the years, clearly. And I think we can and will and are doing better. And this is one of those steps. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it, you know.
And so what do you think is the lesson that the rest of the country can learn from what's happening right now at Roybal?
Well, that don't give up on anybody yet. Listen, we're not asking anybody to say, make their, give everybody a break. We're saying, give everybody the same starting line, and then let's figure out who does. Because right now the starting line isn't equitable at all. And so I think the country, we all know it. I mean, this is not, you know, we're not breaking news here. But when you see it up close, it's pretty obvious where that line is. And if you're not being told about jobs, 60,000 jobs in California that are, you know, not, and remember this, it's not acting, it's not writing, it's not directing. Those are all jobs that require some skill, but also require a tremendous amount of luck. You know, I believe me, as an actor, I struggled for years and years and years, and you had to be the right place at the right time. You have to be lucky. These are jobs that don't require luck. They require you having a skill and having learned a skill. And everyone in that room that you saw today was invested in that. And, you know, there are going to be 350 kids in this school when we fill it out to a senior level. And with any luck, we'll be able to be graduating, you know, 100, 150 kids every year, and maybe in New York, and maybe in Louisiana, and maybe in Chicago. And if we can do that, you know, we can really change the complexity of the way our sets look, you know, which I think is important.
And what will that mean for you 4 or 5 years from now when you're on that set, either acting or directing, and you see your kids from your school now working on the set?
Well, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be incredible to be able to sit there and have some kid come up and go, hey, I went to Roybal. That would be amazing. Less for my reaction, you know, and more about just the idea that, you know, one of the things that really came through when you talk to those kids today, and we got a chance to talk to them, we've met them several times, is it's not just that they're getting an opportunity, they are actually feeling that we're there to support them. They feel, sometimes for the first time, that that they have value, and that their hard work could end up meaning the exact same thing as everyone else's hard work. And that's important. That's an important place to go.
They feel seen.
Yeah, sure.
And not only feel seen, but seen by one of the top actors
in the
world.
Huge star. A huge star. I mean, come on.
The biggest star in the world.
That's what I try to tell people. Yeah. I told Tom Cruise that the other day.
I was going to say, that's what we said to him last week. No, just kidding. So just to wrap things up, sort of where do you think this all goes? What's next for this process?
Don't know. We're successful already. We're successful because of the recruiting. We're successful because of the curriculum. We think we have a good chance of it really escalating. And it doesn't have to just be this industry. You know, this could go into the medical industry. It could certainly go into the tech industry. So this is not a, you know, it's not just singularly for us, but Jim Giannopoulos said it today too, but it's good that it's us because we are part of the people that communicate things to the rest of the world.
Has anybody said no to you? Are most people saying
sure.
Yes?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, we had people say no
anybody?
On this. We should shame them now.
Yeah.
No, but you know, the threat of shame is it's something I learned years of fighting bad guys in, you know, in other countries, which is you can't shame the bad guys, but you can shame all of the people who do business with them, yeah. Right? So you can go to the Sultan of Brunei says he's going to execute, you know, people because they're gay. Well, you can't shame him, but you can go to all of those other companies that are doing business with him and say, we're going to come after you in the same way that we go after him. And they can change things. So shame is a very useful tool in what we're trying to do. It's I have great joy. I used to do that with the telethons. We'd go, well, we need the network, and you just shame everybody into giving us time.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable, though. I mean, it seems like almost every major entertainment company is behind this, right?
Well, I kid about shame. The truth is they want this because they have the same problems. We all have the same issues, which is we know what the result needs to be. But we haven't been particularly good at the process, and this will not solve all the problems, but it will solve a piece of it, and you know, and that's one of the things. And I think that's what the studios and the networks and the unions. I mean, you know, if you think about it this way, let's say we did everything right, we got all these kids an education, and they've learned a trade. I've now learned to be a production designer, and I'm going to build sets and. You know, you don't start as the designer, but you're going to start as a set decorator or something like that. And you've got all those skills and you've apprenticed and you've interned and you've done everything and you're 18 years old and you need a job, you still got to get through the union. You still have to, the union is the one that can stop you. And Mike came, when we called him, he said, you're pushing on an open door. I'm in, whatever way I can help. So we're going to get these young people with skill in early, and that means they'll be getting work early.
That's so cool. Do you think George Clooney, the Bachelor, would have done this?
Well, yes, I did it. I've done other things like that, but it's been a while. You know, it's been 9 years now I've been married, so come on.
Now you're there.
Thanks for coming out, and thanks for covering it, because it's important to us, because, you know, part of the secret for us to expand this is going to be for you to cover it. You know, I mean, my father was a newsman for many, many years.
And a great newsman, well-respected.
Really well-respected newsman. And one of the things he really taught me as a young person was that it has to be, you know, it can't just be in a vacuum, that we have to, you know, it has to, other people have to know about it. And that's what you're doing.
Well, honestly, your respect for our industry from Good Night and Good Luck and from other things you've done over the years, I think is very meaningful to people in this industry.
Well, I believe
for you to use your platform to help journalism at a time when journalism needs somebody standing up for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, my wife has gotten more journalists out of jail than probably any lawyer. I mean, from Azerbaijan to Egypt to Myanmar. She's done an amazing job, so she's the real champion of the journalists.
You both are pretty great.
Yeah,
that's a nice power couple. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you
for the time.
If you want more information on the Roybal School, you can go to the EIFFoundation.org, or you can go to my social media site. We've linked to it. Also go to foxla.com. You can see our story on it. Our thanks to them. Our thanks to George Clooney, and our thanks to you for listening. This is such a great program, and we hope it will be replicated in other places. And how cool is it to be able to talk to him? If you like our show, please tell your friends about it. Tell them to subscribe to The Issue Is. Feel free to leave us a review. We appreciate 5 stars. And it's, you know, the best way to get this kind of stuff out there is by word of mouth, because we don't have much of a budget, but we do believe in what we're doing, and we view this as a service, much like George Clooney. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week for more of The Issue Is.